This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 76. Today, I'm joined by Soen David, who is a Sri Lankan-born but Australian-raised business guy, fantastic generalist business experience and insight, and he owns and founded a outsourcing firm called TBS Global, which is based here in the Philippines, but also has two other international locations. So this isn't just one big infomercial, but basically I am tapping into Soen's vast business and outsourcing experience to give you a little bit of insight into outsourcing, but also business mastery. So I'm sure you will enjoy this. If you want to get in touch with Soen or want any of the show notes, go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/76. And the 76 is because this is episode number 76. So enjoy. Welcome back, everyone. Today, I am joined by Soen David, who is the Director of Operations and Strategy at TBS Global, which is an Australian-owned BPO, and they have operation centres, numerous operation centres now around Asia, Africa, and APAC, including, obviously, the Philippines, very proudly. So, hi, Soen. Good to have you with us.
Derek, hi. Hi, everyone.
And so I'm super interested in just sort of hearing your background. You're obviously a bright guy and sort of a pretty rounded business experience. So how did you get to run a multi-country outsourcing and also outsourcing in the Philippines?
Oh, no, appreciate the comment. But look, I think part of it is strategic. Most of it is, I guess, is accidental. My background is in finance, and about 13 years ago, I felt that there is a need for a back office operation function within the financial sector. This is while I was working for within finance in Sydney. So the concept started as a pure back office financial service provider, but I think we were very early to the market at that stage.
And so was this your business in Sydney? And it was financial services? Okay, and then you were looking for to scratch your own itch, a cheaper sort of solution for your staffing needs, yeah.
Right. And so we kind of put a few heads together and came up with this concept. But what we found was the other sectors, like the telecommunications sector, would have deregulated very quickly in that period, and there was a massive need for outsourcing. And you know, the term BPO didn't really exist back then.
This is back in 2004, is that right?
This is 2004. So you know, there were, well, in Australia, outsourcing was a bit of a bad word back then. Simply, you know, of job losses and what have you. But the market matured very quickly. And you know, we managed to fill that gap in call center services as well as back office operations back there.
Because it was very early days. I mean, outsourcing has really only been happening, you know, with great gusto since about 2002 in the Philippines, isn't it? And I suppose it's also, you know, it's only enabled because of the internet and the capacity of the internet and the cost of internet. Yeah, I mean, before that, it just wasn't really kind of viable.
Very much so, and you know, if I'm completely honest, when we considered offshoring, taking our business model from being an Australian outsource company to a offshore site, Philippines wasn't really the top destination in our minds. My background, I was born in Sri Lanka, and I migrated to Australia when I was about 10 years old, and you know, the subcontinent was known for outsourcing. So we actually looked at India. We actually looked at Sri Lanka as well. And we weren't really happy with the two sectors. One, in India, we felt that the market was oversaturated. Sri Lanka back then just didn't have the infrastructure. And it was, you know, it was on our way back home to Sydney. We happened to stop off in Manila. And it didn't take us too long to figure out that, you know, it was the right place. And Derek, you're 100% right. The internet, the infrastructure in all, made it a very easy turnkey solution to consider Philippines as a destination for us. I think, you know, having an army of outsourcing and call center and BPO professionals available to us, well, you know, that was just the cherry on top.
It takes, you know, it's almost the perfect storm of ingredients, isn't it? You need to come to a developing country, but you don't want to be in West Africa where, you know, granted the salaries would be pretty cheap, but you're literally starting from scratch, aren't you? You know, there's no infrastructure. Whereas, you know, you can come to a place like Philippines and India and they have all of the outsourcing expertise. So it's super simple just to plug into that existing infrastructure, yeah?
Well, you're right, and I think there are some of our clients in the Western world probably don't understand how much Philippines has developed as a operating nation. But you know, there are other destinations with opportunities, but it is a long haul. It is quite a hard push, especially when it comes to things like internet and telephony connectivity.
Because I sort of preach that when people buy outsourcing services, you know, certainly with you, I mean, there's 13 years direct experience there, but they're actually buying into, 13 years direct experience, but it's, you know, there's kind of, the Philippines has 20, 25 years of executive experience at outsourcing.
Right.
So when you outsource to the Philippines, you're in a way kind of sitting on the shoulder of giants in that regard, aren't you? In that you're almost coming to the Swiss banking of outsourcing by tapping into the Philippine experience.
Well, you know, you're 100% right in that. What we found, especially setting up shop in the Philippines, helped us reach other markets quite quickly. The US and the UK being a couple of examples, and the reason we could do that is purely because we had a wealth of resources that we could tap into who have worked in the US market for 20 years and the UK market for 12 years, and represented, you know, giants in the industry. We're finding the same thing with the Australian market. We can now go to market and find resources who worked in Australian banks and financial institutes for 6 years and now looking for the next change.
Yeah, that's super valuable, isn't it? And you know, you
absolutely
can get and again, that comes with the maturity of the outsourcing sector. The, you know, you can now find sitting in Manila, Australian trained accountants or American trained accountants or UK trained accountants. So there's very localized specific knowledge here now, isn't there, which is increasingly valuable.
Very much so. I think gone are the days where we could just think of Philippines as the call center customer service destination. The professional services that are coming out of Philippines now, and you know, they're second to none.
And so, just give me. Very often, I have discussions comparing, you know, Indian outsourcing to Philippines and blah blah blah. But it's interesting getting your perspective on the client side. So, how does an Australian client or sort of a Australian business compared to US business compared to UK business? I have personal first-hand knowledge of Australia, and the country is a very closed country, so the domestic salaries are super, super high, and which is obviously a good reason to then outsource. But also the country is a little bit slightly xenophobic and protectionist about their jobs. Also I find that they're very proactive and probably very strong early adopters of outsourcing. I mean, they're my observations, but how do you compare sort of Australian to UK to US potential clients?
Sure. It's a good question. And it definitely depends within the certain sectors and industries. But in general, I think your observation of Australian clients are Very accurate. I think because Australia is so far away from everyone else, we've become a nation that depends on each other and gets the job done. So outsourcing is a new concept for us, but it's something that, especially over the last 3 years, we've actually grown to understand. I think it's come as quite an interesting time within the Australian market. I think it's primarily the fact that we can identify a greater function. There was a general fear within the Australian market that if job goes offshore, that means people lose their jobs here. Mm. I think what companies have now identified is that if jobs goes offshore, we actually can allocate different tasks for their team locally, and that actually generates a number of efficiencies across that business. And Australia's picked up that point very quickly. The US clients have always been open to outsourcing from our perspective, and Philippines again has been a primary destination for them, simply because of that historic alliance between the US and Philippines. Yeah. Very close. Yeah. But I think we're definitely finding that we are bridging the gap. The fact that Australia and Philippines are, 3 hour time difference is a massive advantage. Mm. It's a 7.5 hour flight for a client to get in and get out. So all of these things definitely does add value to the destination.
Mm, absolutely. And do you have any experience in the UK? Because I find, just sort of looking at it distantly, anecdotally, they're not so into outsourcing. I don't think they're just so generally aware of the concept of outsourcing. And then if they do, they're probably more sort of closely and culturally aligned to kind of India because of the kind of historic immigration and things like that.
Very much so, and that's definitely something that we have found. We do have a couple of clients from the UK, but in as a whole, what we have found is that there is that correlation and connection to India being part of the Commonwealth, I would assume. Mm. Also, I guess being in that close-knit European community, some of the outsourcing actually happens out of some of the smaller Baltic states, Eastern Europe. But we feel that that will change with the current European climate changes. I think there will be more opportunities for Philippine organizations and the rest of the outsourcing world to provide services for the UK and Europe in general.
Yeah, it's interesting because you just generally don't certainly me sitting in Manila, you don't see a lot of UK business people. Interestingly, I had a conversation with a prospective outsourcer or someone that's interested in outsourcing. They wanted 150 seats to cover their Christmas time, kind of rush period. But Interestingly, their entire company is an outsourced customer service company. And so they were an outsourcer, but all of their staffing was sitting in the UK, and it was interesting to talk to these people because their knowledge and insight into what I call outsourcing, but sort of Philippine offshore outsourcing, they had zero insight, they had zero knowledge of the opportunity, the prices, and incredible, huh? So you're still having kind of onshore outsourcing that has absolute ignorance is a tough word, but just not a lot of knowledge of the opportunities in offshore outsourcing.
And I think you're 100% right. Not just the UK. I find that the number of clients I speak to here in Australia and the US or wherever it is, when we mention price, there's a double take. It's almost like I don't want to ask if you got it right, just in case I got it wrong. So the client definitely is surprised by how much saving can come into play. We get, our pricing range, we could start from anywhere between $8.50 US upwards, depending on the type of services that the client requires. So when you think about an hourly rate that is a third of what it would cost a client in the US or Australia, it's a phenomenal mind shift.
Yes, huge. And that's face value. Whereas the $8 or whatever you're quoting here includes your, you know, the officing, the kind of HR support, the all of the
exactly.
IT. Phenomenal, isn't it? Whereas, you know, in Australia or the US, $8, well, whatever the base rate is, plus you have to house them in an office, plus you have to pay the government levies.
Exactly that. And, you know, we talked to some of our more sophisticated clients about the fact that it's an operational expense rather than a capital expenditure. And, you know, it's a no-brainer. But we also understand that some of the challenges lies within the perceived lack of control. And, you know, we definitely take our clients through that journey and explain to them that, you know, from a TBS perspective, from our company, we stand as an extension of our client's business rather than a extended third-party solution provider.
Absolutely. And again, you know, in that price, that hourly price that they pay you, you know, you're getting a full-time staff member or whatever, but they're also getting a slice of your experience and your expertise, aren't they? So, I mean, there's huge value add in these outsourcing propositions.
Very much so. Very much. And I think that's very much the case with every BPO and outsourcing provider that I know, in the sense that the added value that's given in terms of transition management as well as business operation management, analytics, you know, those are unquantifiable values that the BPO adds to the business.
So, I mean, we, you know, Outsource Accelerator offers a consultation program, and a not a big part of it, but a part of it is that we preach that, you know, a lot of the training has to go towards the business owner or whoever's going to manage the outsourcing staff, because it takes a certain mind shift, and you know, there's different ways of managing a remote team and a Filipino team and things like that. And you know, I think often when you take on new clients, there's a period where there's considerable hand holding required, yeah, just so that they are able to get the best out of their teams.
Very much so, and we manage that expectation very clearly with the client prior to the onboarding stage, because I, you know, it's the old 80-20 rule. You know, we want to spend 80% of their time at the beginning of this relationship and take them on that journey, which gives them confidence of who we are, who our people are, and what type of exposure they have. And you know, the idea is then, you know, when the business as usual stage rolls on, well, you know, it's just a matter of monitoring, providing training. But what we really love is for our clients to come in and see the center, you know, whenever they're around. That's the real tick for us.
What proportion of your clients or smaller clients with, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 seats come over to the Philippines? Because I know I had 2 or 3 seats, and it was about a year or 18 months before I even came to the country. It's amazing when you come to the country and actually see it firsthand. Yeah, it just completely changes your perspective. But what proportion of your clients come here?
When we talk about the smaller clients, it is very low. We encourage our clients to come in. We had one of our clients who's been with us for 5 years, with 2 resources. They finally got around to coming into seeing us. And, you know, it really opened his eyes to who we are and what his team was all about. He went back home. He came back to Sydney, called me the next day, and he said, look, let's add 3 more people to this team. So I think, you know, that was a great story for us as well. But, you know, even for myself, who, you know, head office here is here in Sydney, and I come down ever so often, you know, I'll make 7 or 8 trips. But when I come down and see the team in action, it's, you know, it just takes you to that next level. And so we really encourage our clients, and some of our larger clients, you know, they have a permanent seat with us, so they can come in and go out as they wish. So, you know, we really encourage that level of interaction as well.
It's quite addictive, isn't it? You see one person, you know, gingerly start with a part-time bookkeeper, and then within a year they've got like 10 seats and they're getting the entire company managed from Philippines. Yeah.
Well, that's right. That's right. And, you know, it's that's exciting for us as a company. You know, I guess our story, we had a company who approached us about 5 years ago, and they told us they need 7 staff members, which was a nice number 5 years ago for us. And they said, look, we can't give you permanent hours, because it varies on a day-to-day basis. And you can imagine the challenge we had in recruiting. But, you know, we accommodated for that. Today we have about 45 resources for that company. So, you know, it's just knowing how to meet our customers' requirements, because the business environment has changed these days. And you know, for a company our size, we don't have the luxury of saying, well, we're going to start with 20 seats. What encourages us is being able to start with 2 and really work with that company to get them to grow to 5, 10, 15, and so forth.
Yeah, it's a win-win, isn't it? You know, you're both aligned in terms of outcomes, aren't you?
And very much.
You know, I really think I know the growth in outsourcing is in the SME markets. And we're actually just finishing off a white paper, which I'll share in the show notes and with you. But there's 35 million SMEs, companies, small, medium enterprises in the Western high-cost English-speaking world. They employ 102 million people and have $12 trillion US dollars turnover a year. And, you know, if just 1% of those companies employed an outsourcing, you know, it'd have a huge impact on outsourcing the Philippines, but also, obviously, those businesses. Yeah, there's a huge potential growth.
Huge potential, absolutely. That you know, I think one of the challenges is the attention that's required for an SME. It's not the same as an enterprise client. So I think that's the biggest challenge for a BPO, to be able to adjust to the needs of an SME.
Interesting. Okay, so we're going to have you back next time, and we're going to really deep dive into TBS Global and figure out exactly how you do it. So I look forward to speaking to you soon. And how can people get in touch with you?
Okay, well, email is probably the best. Feel free to drop me an email. Our email is bpo@tbservices, so that's T for Tango, B for Bravo, services.com.au.
Fantastic, and we'll have all of those contact details in the show notes. Thank you so much, Soen. Hope you enjoyed that. That was Soen David of TBS Global. If you want to get in touch with Soen or get any of the show notes or the transcript, then go to our website, which is outsourceaccelerator.com/76. And if you want to get in touch with us, if you want to ask us anything, then please just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.